We're honored to be joined by Pro Football Hall of Famer and probably one of the best running backs that I've ever seen. As he played, as I, you know, while I was rolling into my football prime, and he foiled my Giants many times. It's Emmitt Smith joining us here once again on the Spano and Black Attack. Emmitt, good morning. I'm Joe Spano. It's great to have you back.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you for having me.
It's always been a pleasure. Like I said, watching you play was a pleasure, I'd say, 14 or more times a year. Those two games against the Giants weren't always a pleasure. As a Giant fan, you were frustrating because you just wouldn't go down and wouldn't be stopped.
Well, you know, I had to do my job. That's number one. But I enjoyed playing against the Giants. Great organization, great football teams. Had some legendary players on the other side. So competition-wise, they were definitely up there to compete against. And, you know, coming to New York itself, and having the chance to perform in the Big Apple, if you will, and it was just a thrill and a treat for me.
Well, in all reality, it was a thrill to watch somebody as talented and as determined as you run the football was always a pleasure. And let's get into the work you've done. You've been working with Takeda Pharmaceuticals for some time to spread awareness and educate Americans on gout and what they can do to cope with it. So talk to us a little bit about that before we get into the Dallas Cowboys and the direction that franchise may be taking.
Okay, well, thank you. Gout is a serious, painful form of arthritis, and there are over 8 million Americans who suffer from gout, and Takeda Pharmaceutical and myself have teamed and been teammates for the last 4 years to help spread more awareness to the 8 million-plus Americans who are suffering from gout right now. You can go to GoutSmart.com to get plenty of information, get tips to help you get more out of your doctor visit whenever you go if you're suffering from a flare-up. For me, I think that's one of the most important things that a patient can do is to have the open communication line with his or her doctor to discuss gout and the treatment plan that is best for them. Right now, I'm currently on a treatment plan, and it has been working for me, and I will continue it up because I know how painful those flares can absolutely be. I'm here to tell most Americans who are suffering from gout, if you're having a flare, you don't have to sit there and go through an entire day like I did before you go and get some relief or some help. So get on it right away. Go to GoutSmart.com. Get all the information that you possibly can to understand what gout is and what treatment plans that are out there for you or treatment options that are out there for you. And get to your local physician, ask the right questions, and walk away knowing that you can be on the road to recovery and not have to really go through all the painful stuff that I went through the first time I experienced gout flares.
Excellent. I mean, that's a great job of spreading that awareness, and hopefully the audience will take heed and consult with their physician and avoid that suffering that you're now no longer doing, and that's great news. Let's get to the Cowboys a little bit. There's been some rumors out there that they're going to try and make an effort to pick Johnny Manziel, even if it means moving up and all these other things, with a quarterback like Tony Romo in the heart of his prime and still having several years left in his career. Do you see that as a direction in today's win-now NFL that they realistically could go, or is this a team that will try and fill more pressing needs on their roster come draft day, which is today, tomorrow, and Saturday?
I think right now the Dallas Cowboys have more pressing needs than at the quarterback position. Although many people around here may think that the Cowboys need to bring in another quarterback to be groomed after Tony Romo, but I think the Cowboys on the defensive front side definitely can use some upgrade over there to help slow down teams and get Tony Romo and our offense the ball in their hands and allow them to do their damage. Beyond all those things, I think the Dallas Cowboys definitely need to get back to a balanced attack to help Tony Romo as well as take pressure off of the passing game and put a little bit more pressure on the running game. And if we can do that, I think that'll help the defense as well as the offense and the overall team.
You know, it's interesting that you talked about that because I've watched, you know, you watch the Cowboys, the recent vintage Cowboys, and I get frustrated. I'm like, boy, they quit on that run game right away. And they force their quarterback to throw the ball 40-plus times a game. And we've seen that in the NFL. It's a pass-happy NFL. But the truth is, ultimate victory doesn't come unless you have something of a balanced attack. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree with you 100%. And the reason why they jump right to the passing game is because it's something that they truly want to do. To me, I think it's a mixed message out there. You say you want to run the football, but yet when you get a tackle for a loss behind the line of scrimmage on a run game, you go away from it for 20 straight plays. Yet when you get a sack, you continue to throw the football. So at the end of the day, that's the mixed message that I see when I'm sitting back watching the National Football League as well as my Dallas Cowboys. People talk about balance, but they're not committed to it. And when you're not committed to it, it sends the wrong message to the team. Because you can go into a game, we're going to run the football, and you practice all week on running the football. Then the minute something bad happens, you jump ship real quick, which says to the whole team that you really are not committed to doing what you said you were. And when you do that, then you start to lose trust in players. So players start to lose trust in you because they cannot believe truly what you're saying, because they know that you're going to revert back to your true nature. And your true nature right now in the National Football League is to throw the football.
You know, and it's interesting. You talk about players losing trust. And I understand in this league, coaching is important. It is. But at the end of the day, it's you guys that strap on those helmets and go out there and crack your head 70 times a game that win and lose these football games. So when your coaching staff loses the trust of the players, is that when it's kind of time to turn the page here? And I'm not necessarily talking in Dallas specifically, but I'm talking in general. Is that where coaching staffs are most important? Obviously, scheme is important, but in getting these players to believe in them.
Yeah, I think that's the key fundamental to any organization, whether or not it's in the professional football rankings or if it's in the business world. At the end of the day, people have to buy into the vision. And if the vision is solid and if the vision is consistent, And people are trusting that this vision is the way we're going to go because this is what you're telling us we're going to do. Your team have the tendency to work towards that. But when you're yo-yoing people up and down and changing with the wind, and you're reverting to your true nature, and your true nature is to pass the ball, you're sending the wrong message to the team. I mean, your offensive linemen never have a chance to tee off on anybody if you got them dropping back in pass mode the whole time, while you see Yumayor over there just pass rushing and bull rushing your left tackle. You just cannot do that. You need to give your left tackle a chance to fire off and lay heavy on somebody at some point in time or a serious point of time throughout the game. So when the fourth quarter comes around, he's not firing off as hard. And the pass protection can absolutely stand up against that. And so I think you're absolutely correct. When that trust is broken, then players are going to have to do what they have to do. And they're going to have to go out and execute the play that is called, which every player understands that. That's professional football, and that's just the way it is. But it is absolutely frustrating as a player to know that I'm trusting you, but yet you can't trust me. Or you want me to follow you, but yet you're not giving us an opportunity to be the best that we can and do the things that we're capable of doing. That's just not – it just doesn't work that way, and it's very frustrating as a player.
Well, Emmett, you know, we got a little time here, so I'm going to take advantage of it. We're going to run with this. And we've seen – because I'm getting some real insight into this sport that we don't know, that we're not normally able to give people, and I like to go beyond. When you have a Hall of Fame football player that's been in huddles as long as you have, I like to ask them those questions. You know, what goes on between the ears of a professional athlete, and what is it that those that aren't professional athletes, what is it that we don't see? And where I'm going to take this is to the, in many ways, the de-evolution of the running back position and the devaluation of the running back position. Are NFL general managers and coaches making a real mistake with this decision that the position isn't that important? We're not going to pay for these guys. Once they turn 28 or 29, they're automatically done. We're not going to draft them in the first round. All these sort of issues. Because I've watched football for a long time, and I think when you get a guy who you can give the ball 275 to 300 times to, and he'll run it at 4.5 yards a carry, and run for 1,500, 1,600 yards. I think you can win a lot of football games behind that guy leading your offense, and it seems that the league has gone away from that, and they just don't value these guys.
Right. Well, look at the teams that made it to the Super Bowl last year, and look at the teams that made it deep into the NFC Championship game as well as the AFC Championships game. Look at how they ran the football last year. Look at the number of carries that their backs had. And look at where they were. They were on the doorstep of going to the Super Bowl. Some of them went to the Super Bowl. So at the end of the day, devaluing the running back position, only thing the league is telling the running backs is you're not valued. And what kind of junk is that when you're talking about you want somebody to come out and perform for you? We don't value the same way we value our quarterback. We don't value you the same way we value our defensive players. That is not the right message. I mean, at the end of the day, you want players to come in feeling that they are worthy to be where they in the position that they're in, and that they earn the right to be the number one starter, and that they're earning the right to get a bigger contract. And so at the end of the day, when I'm looking at all of this stuff that's going on, I think the message is kind of is a mismatch going on out there, as well as I just don't believe that you can win the big game without having a solid running game behind it. And I just think Seattle should prove that. I think the 49ers have proven that. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers have proven that. And many other teams, and the Baltimore Ravens, have proven that. And those are recent Super Bowl contending teams. And so when I see teams like that, I'm like, yeah, I'm going for that team because they can run the ball. They're physically fit up front. They're physically fit on the defensive side of the ball. They can throw the ball. They're balanced. And I like that. And I think those are the ways that you win championship games.
Well, I got two more because I'm going to take advantage of this time that I have, and I'm going to go to break late. First of all, you talked about the mixed message, and you got a guy going in there and giving – people look at professional football players and they say, well, they're playing a kid's game. Boy, are they lucky. Look at all this money they're making. You give up your body in exchange for living out this dream. And as a running back, you give up your body maybe harder than anybody because you receive a lot of punishment. So when a team sends that mixed message that we don't want to pay you and, you know, at 29, no matter what kind of stats you've had, we know you're going to fall off the cliff and we're done with you. How does that weigh on your mind? And come Sunday and come during the week as you're practicing and studying and doing all this work, how does it affect you? Because, hey, yeah, you're a professional athlete. Yeah, you're playing a sport and a kid's game, but this is also your job and how you feed your family. You know, Right. Give us some insight there.
Well, you know what? I think players are much more professional than some of the things that I may lead you to believe, that we don't think like, well, since they're not going to pay me, I'm not going to perform at my best. No, I think players have a lot more character than that. They have personal goals that they want to achieve on the football field and financially. And so at the end of the day, I say 28, 29 is a myth. Maybe a lot more players, if you look at it, on the overall totality of the entire National Football League has never extended past 28, but there are some of the Hall of Famers that have gone on to 28 to 35. So it's not about whether or not a player is not going to perform at his peak or at his best once he exceeds 28. Is the question becomes, are you going to give him a chance to? And right now, the National Football League is not giving running backs a chance to. And they've taken the ball out of their hands for various reasons. Maybe it's because of the head trauma. Maybe it's because the backs cannot not first, second, and third down backs. Maybe it's because the durability of the running back position has declined. Maybe it's a combination of all of the above. But that's no reason for a team not to be committed to running the football, not to be committed to being balanced. You give the running back – your running back is your thoroughbred. You hand him the ball, he's going to run as long as you keep giving it to him, period.
That brings me to my final question. We see all these committees out there. And, yes, you have to have viable backups, but I've always had a theory on depth. It's fine until you actually have to use it. Isn't a running back position about just that, gaining momentum and you kind of build upon it by getting that workload. You see all these committees, and you know, we don't want to work a guy too hard, and we want to share the workload. Does that have a negative impact on a running back and his performance?
Well, I don't think that. I know for me, if you was to give me 10 carries, I would not get into a nice little rhythm. That does not work for me. And you would not get the best of me in terms of maximizing my talent to this fullest. And not because I'm not performing well, just because I have not hit my stride yet. You know, in my particular case, I was a guy that was trained and raised on carrying the ball 18 to 25 times a game. And that was my mindset. I went into every game expecting to get the ball 20 to 25 times a game. And if you gave it to me 30, then somewhere in the 20 to 30 range, you was going to get some of the best performances out of me because of I was in my zone. I was in my area where my fortitude began to take over and my perseverance began to take over. My instinct began to take over. Those are areas that people constantly miss when it comes down to gauging whether or not a player can perform at his peak or at his optimal.
I think you gave us so much insight into this position that we normally don't get. Because, you know, you've done these interviews and you listen to what we do. We ask you the same surface questions. I have an opportunity to talk to one of the best running backs that ever strapped on a helmet. I want to get deeper. And I thank you for giving us a few minutes to get a little deeper and also raising our awareness on gout and how Takeda Pharmaceuticals can help you, you know, alleviate the symptoms of gout and feel more comfortable. It's truly been a pleasure. Emmett, after the draft, we'd love to have you back on. We'll talk about some of these running backs and what you think they can do in the future in the NFL.
All right. Thank you.